This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Very early this morning, Iraq's governing council agreed on an interim constitution. They missed their deadline by about 28 hours, but that's not bad given the nature of the task. The temporary constitution is expected to be signed on Wednesday. It guarantees freedom of religion. It provides special rights to women and for Kurds. Many more issues need to be sorted out, including some big ones, like what happens on June 30th when America hands sovereignty over to Iraqis. The nature of that government is yet to be determined. Joining us now to tell us what's in the document and what is not is Assam El-Farji. He's a director of Iraq Revenue Watch based in Baghdad, and today he joins us by phone from Amsterdam in the Netherlands. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you.
And we heard a great deal about the difficulties that were involved in reaching an agreement. Were you surprised the governing council actually reached at the end a unanimous accord?
No, it's something that's admirable, but it's not surprising, given that all of them, all the governing council members knew that they had to reach an agreement if they wanted to be handed power by the 30th of June.
So the there's a considerable incentive to reach agreement, yet there's a great deal to disagree about. The relationship between Islam and the law was one of the main sticking points. What was the debate, and how did it get worked out?
Yes, there is indeed. Islam is one of the most important contentious issues, but it was by no means the only one. We might have the time to talk about other issues. The main issue about Islam is that the Islamist parties or personalities wanted Islam to be the main source of legislation in Iraq. And this is an unprecedented thing in the modern history of Iraq, because since the 1920s, Iraq has always had a civil code, a penal code that was actually a almost a literal transcript of the French Napoleonic code. We didn't have any of these barbaric punishments like cutting the hands of thieves or whatever that you know of in Saudi Arabia and other countries. So some of the Islamist leaders wanted Islam to be the major source of legislation, and fortunately we reached a solution whereby Islam is recognized as the religion of the majority of the population. Islam is considered as a source, one of the major sources of legislation, but not the major source of legislation. This will allow future legislators to go on with the, adopting civil laws that are not necessarily derived from the Quran. But there was finally some kind of a compromise when they, when the Islamists insisted to, on putting a clause that the legislation should not be contradictory to Islam.
Now, with that compromise, do you think that there's going to be at least a breathing space to give between Islamists and non-Islamists in Iraq?
Yes, I think there will. And remember that there are the regional differences in Iraq, because if the Islamists had insisted on their brand of and the way they understood understand the legislation, the Kurds are not willing to adopt that in Kurdistan, in the north of Iraq. Other regions might not accept that. So yes, there will be a breathing space, and more than that, it will all hinge upon the political constellation rather than on what kind of texts have there been in the constitution. Who will be in the who will have the upper hand in the coming parliament, or whatever you want to call it, the National Assembly? This will decide actually.
Now, you mentioned the power-sharing arrangement. Under this constitution, as I understand it, there would be a president and two deputy vice presidents. And as you look at the constitution of the Iraqi population, one could immediately think, aha, that means a Shiite president, a Kurdish vice president, and a Sunni vice president.
This is possible. This is likely, but not necessarily the outcome. Up till now, there is talk of appointing a prime minister and a president. No one knows up till now how will that evolve. Will there be a prime minister and a president? What will the powers of each be? The authority of the president, the president of the republic, and the prime minister. If the president prime minister duetto will prevail, then I would assume a Shiite president and a Kurdish prime minister, maybe a vice president who is a Sunni. And it's not, this by itself is not necessarily negative. What is negative? initiative is to go down in the power structure and keep dividing it along sectarian lines, as has happened in the governing council when 25 members were chosen along these lines, and even ordinary people saw that as odd and divisive rather than as a guarantee for their sectarian identity. When they had out of the 25 members, we still have 13 Shia Arabs. We have five Kurds and five Sunnis. This is not what we want. But at Troika, where the three major or main communities of Iraq are symbolized by an individual, I don't see that as a negative thing.
Now, regional rights, again, Kurdish autonomy, that's extremely important for them. As you mentioned, they've been more or less running their own region of the country since the end of the first Gulf War back in 1991. They want to maintain self-rule. They want to keep their own militia, the Peshmerga, as sort of a regional militia, not part of the Iraqi army. Will they be allowed to do that?
Well, it seems to me that there has been considerable pressure by the Ambassador Breber, the American administrator, and the American administration on them. I think the Kurds came out with they are not happy about with the agreement that has been reached, although they did not oppose it, but clearly they have been under considerable pressure. It was very significant that today in the press conference that some governing council members came to announce the new constitution, interim constitution. There was no single Kurd in that press conference, which is, I hope I'm wrong, but it seems to me it's a signal that they are not very happy with what happened. The agreement, this interim constitution, there is now a clause which says that for militias, private militias or non-militias that are not part of the Iraqi army are not allowed, and this is directed especially to the Peshmerga, the Kurdish fighters, whom the administration, the U.S. administration, and many Iraqis insist that they must form part of the newly formed Iraqi army or the border guards or whatever kind of state armed forces that will be established. Second, they were not given the region of Kirkuk, which has been a major issue that the Kurds have demanded, given that it's historically it's a Kurdish province. The agreement was that the situation will that has prevailed since the first Gulf War 1991 will prevail until a permanent constitution will be adopted.
We just have a few seconds left, but there are several aspects of this constitution that look very good to Western eyes, the equivalent to a Bill of Rights, a goal at least of having 25% women in the legislature. But is there anything to prevent a future Iraqi legislature or constitutional assembly from rewriting all of that?
There is nothing, but I think that this is the minimum that all the components of Iraq agree upon, and I totally agree with you on the Bill of Rights and the rights of women. Although women organizations have demanded 40% of the senior state jobs, but 25% will be a great achievement for Iraqi women who are very worried that the rise of Islamism might have taken some of their historically gained rights. So I agree with you, but the only thing is that the social dynamics, the popular movements are the guarantees for any future improvements rather than going back.
Assam Al-Hafaji, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Assam Al-Hafaji is director of Iraq Revenue Watch. He joined us by phone from Amsterdam in the Netherlands. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.